4CBA Mobile. You're barely making the repeater there. If you can do anything to improve your signal, would be good. KB4CPA, name here is David.
KB4CBA, KQ4LO, how are you doing this morning, this afternoon?
Q4LO, I hope that's right, KB4CBA. Name here is David, I'm doing good. I'm coming back from Maggie Valley, back to Greenville, and I'm on 25 on the big downhill 6% grade, and they got us down to one lane here, so everybody's, you know, braking, and but anyway, it is pouring down rain. Stop, we just went to two lanes.
Two lanes, that means you're down to the near the bottom, so I've been through there, and they've had it for one lane for a while. David, I've spoken to you before, back last year during Helene, I think. That was back when I was using primarily, well, strictly my Baofeng HT, but I've upgraded since then to an Icom 2730B.
Is that, did you say 2730? Is that an Icom or what brand?
Icom 2730B, Bravo.
So if you headed northbound on 25, about halfway up, the truck, pickup truck, evidently must have his cruise on or something. Wall, so it's going to have a little front end work. He's gonna need a little front end work. He's got both lanes blocked.
I think I was thinking about heading that direction today, spend the day with my family, but apparently now I'm not going to, so anyway, yeah, it's been a while. My name's Tal. I don't know if you remember my name, but I do remember speaking to you. I remember your call sign, so
okay, I do remember your name. I mean, now that you said it, I remember talking to you. It's been a while. But anyway, I tell you, I went up to see my sister in Maggie Valley. She needed some help, and she was trying to decide whether to fix her Jeep or get another one or get something else, and you know, everybody was telling her to buy a Subaru, but you know, we found out that, you know, if you buy a Subaru, then you basically have to take it back to the Subaru place to get any work done on it, you know, after it's out of warranty even, because Subaru doesn't like aftermarket parts, especially sensors and stuff like that, and they just don't work too well. But anyway, she bought another, she bought a 25 Jeep Wrangler, brand new, and you know, I just kind of helped her through that process, because she just gets flustered and all that, and doesn't know what to do sometime, or doesn't, yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, I've got family that lives up there near where Patrick lives. Matter of fact, he's basically stone's throw away, almost, well, probably a little more than that, but yeah, that's where my family lives, is up in that area.
It's a nice place up there, and I don't know if you've been through Maggie Valley lately, but I think it's Highway 276 dead ends into SoCo Road, and I think it's 441, but I'm not sure. But anyway, and they're going to put a traffic circle there. Can you see those 18-wheelers managing that traffic circle? That's going to be a hoot.
I'm at 276. That's pretty much the parkway, is it not?
Well, I could be wrong on the highway number, but whatever it is, you come over a hill, and then right at the base of the hill is a traffic light, and this highway, this four lane, just dead ends right there. So you either gotta turn right or left. And so they said they've had a lot of wrecks there, and so they think a traffic circle's gonna solve that problem. But you know, the problem is a lot of people don't know what to do at a traffic circle. And like I said, you know, 18-wheelers, they'll get there. You get two or three of them bunched up, you know, and they'll take up the whole circle, and they'll have to take both lanes. And it's just going to be a mess.
I can see that, and you're right. There's a lot of people don't know how to navigate the traffic circle. It's a new concept to them. I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, it started out west, but yeah, around here it's a new concept to a lot of people.
I never will forget, I was working at John Finger Mazda at the time, and the road that goes down beside the dealership, God's trying to remember the name of it, but anyway, it goes into a real nice subdivision. And so they put a traffic circle up to slow people down. Well, you know, sometimes we'll go down there because they have speed bumps, and you know, if we're listening for a suspension noise or some kind of noise, you know, it's a good place to go, and you can, you know, kind of duplicate the problem. So they put the traffic circle in, and I was going down there, and it was about 5 o'clock, and you're facing west, and so the sun's right in your eyes, I mean straight ahead, and this must have been the winter time. And when I got to the traffic circle, there was a lady, and I guess her daughter, sitting up on top of that mound of dirt there in the traffic circle. She just drove straight onto it and didn't see it.
That's funny. But, you know, I could see the concept of it working if it's worked correctly, but with 18-wheelers, that's also a problem. It kind of helps traffic keep going for the most part, so I kind of like that idea of it. But it does have its drawbacks, like you.
You know, like they put one, I can't remember where it is, but it's not, you know, it's not around like a downtown area. It's, I think it's around Greer or something out, kind of out. But anyway, so right down the street is a fire station, and then they put a dang traffic circle. And the fire station just, you know, when they heard that they were going to build one, they just had a fit because they were, you know, it just makes it very difficult for them and that big fire truck. And I don't blame them. You know, I raised Cain too, but they built it. I mean, they didn't listen to them.
I got a question. This is a little off topic, but with that new hands-free law, how's that going to affect us ham mobile users?
Well, I wondered that myself, but I believe they're looking for cell phones, you know, in people's hands, talking on cell phones. I don't think we'll have any problem, you know, talking on a microphone. I mean, heck, they do, so... You know, but anyway, I don't think that'll be a problem.
Once I started getting into this pretty good, I started enjoying a little bit.
For CPA. I mean, it's something to think about. I think they came out with that earlier. I don't know if they just didn't enforce it, and now they're reminding people that that's the law and they're enforcing it. I don't know. But I remember them talking about that several years back, and I don't know, maybe it was just in the talking stages back then, but it definitely came up. But, you know, most cars have, unless you're just driving an old, you know, 20-year-old car, they have Bluetooth, and heck, you can have Bluetooth installed in any car. So, you really don't have an excuse, and, you know, and in fact, you can tell your phone that, to tell the person calling that you're driving, and you'll call them back later.
Go ahead.
CRV, Lee in Simpsonville, hands-free starts tomorrow. Ham radio is exempt, as is mobile use if you are calling or reporting in an accident. Otherwise, it has to be, they say, out of your reach, like down, you know, in the cup holder or something, but you cannot be holding it while the car is on a public street and in gear. If you're in a parking lot in park, you're good.
LOO, roger that. Thank you very much for that information.
First thing I did when I heard it was going live was looked at all the ins and outs, and it does specifically say emergency use and amateur radio is excluded.
I really appreciate that. It clarifies a lot of things and answers our question. So, you know, there you go, Al. I got your name wrong. Cal.
Roger that. It's actually Tau, Tango Alpha Lima.
I said that, but maybe I didn't the second time. Well, coming into the Traveler's Rest. When my wife was the salesman, my sister was buying her Jeep yesterday. The salesman, he didn't tell us. I mentioned I lived in Greenville. I don't know, he must have missed that, and he might have been, you know, thinking about something else or writing something down, I don't know. But, so his, the finance lady, we had to go to her, of course, just to sign some paperwork, because she paid cash for it, and, but anyway, she said her boyfriend, who works on, BMW's, you know, lives, I forget where he lived, but anyway, she said our salesman lives in Greenville, and it just takes him an hour to get here, and I thought, you ain't driven 26 and 40 lately, because I mean, you could drive 120 miles an hour, you wouldn't get there in an hour.
The Piedmont area, it takes an hour and 20 minutes to get up to near Pisgah Forest area, so... You definitely ain't going to get to Maggie Valley that quick.
In our defense, we were in West Asheville on 1923. It was just right off of 40. So we were right there. And, you know, so I don't know. There's a possibility you might could get there in an hour, but that's a pretty good drive.
If you're on West Asheville on 40, right off of 40, that means you're right at the very top of the mountain. Am I correct?
Well, not really. I mean, 1923. I used to go to Morris Hill College up there. Morris Hill University, we used to come out that far. We'd go to Asheville, and then we would come, but we were in the eastern part of Asheville, downtown and everything, most of the time, but as you go west on 40, you're actually gaining elevation.
I used to live in eastern North Carolina, and I'd take 264 to 440 to 40 to get there, the area I was talking about. And I always remember West Asheville was somewhere near the top with the big climb. It's a 6% on that side of the mountain too. So that's why I was saying that. I'm pretty much saying, I guess, the crest of the Big Eagle.
And there's also, like, if you're coming from, you know, like Spartanburg or that area, you're coming up 26. There's a big incline there, too. If you come that way going to Asheville, the way I come, I come up 25, so I miss that grade. But I'm going up 25, you know, you have that 6% grade. So, you know, either way you go, it's going to be a challenge going uphill, and then, you know, downhill, heck, just throw it in neutral and let her rip.
Put it in neutral, that might be a little hard on the brakes. You might find yourself in that emergency runoff there.
I'm kidding about that. It's interesting. Kia's in the turn lane, left turn lane with his right turn signal on. It's going to be interesting to see what he does. He didn't get an error. It's another one of my pet peeves. I play tennis, he just switched to left. Okay, must have noticed. I go play tennis, I go down, I cut through Patewood from Pelham to go to Congaree, you know, and it snakes through the, between the two hospitals there, St. Francis and Prisma Health, and that traffic light, the first one you come to, coming down from Pelham Road, if you want to go straight, both turn, I don't care if there's no cars in the turn lane, that both turn lanes will activate and you just have to sit there. And, I mean, it's really frustrating. They can't keep the traffic lights, they say they're computerized and it helps traffic move better, blah, blah, blah. You know, well, no, it really doesn't.
By the Toyota dealership, is that light by Olive Garden and all that too?
Pelham Road and Patewood. Yeah, I think it's where, what's the name of that road? I can't think of it. I used to live over that way in Wellington Green, and I drove that road a good bit. I had some friends that lived on it. But anyway, it's that intersection. If you come down the hill, you know, you're going toward, there's St. Francis on your left, and then Prisma's on your right. And there's a traffic light right there, but there's one before it. And it's got the left turn arrows in it, and it just, and there's other intersections like that too. I'm going to find the number to call and let them know what's going on, because somebody needs to tell them.
I know where you're talking about. I had to do a sleep study over there right beside Prisma going back this way. So I know exactly what you're talking about. That is kind of a mess down in that area.
And now there's like three traffic lights right there in a row. It's just ridiculous. And so once you get right there where there's a road that goes beside St. Francis and dead ends, and of course there's a traffic light there, I wish I could make a left turn on red, you know, turn right in front of me, I blew the horn at him, you know, because he's running a red light, just decided he didn't want to wait, and so anyway, but there, little area of dirt that was left, and they cut the trees down, and now they're grading, and they're going to build a whopping 24-bed hospital. I can't remember who it is, but, you know, it's obviously Prisma and St. Francis. And, but, I mean, who would waste their money to build a 24-bed hospital. That's just ridiculous. I mean, you know, why waste your time? I mean, if it was 240 beds, yeah, but good cow.
Certain it could be used for an overflow if we ever had an emergency in this area.
That is a thought. I'm not sure if they're going to have an emergency department or not. They call them EDs now. It's not the emergency room. It's the emergency department. So anyway, I don't know if they're going to have one of those, but it would be good. And, yeah, if they could take in some, you know, trauma patients, have people that can do that kind of stuff and assess them, you know, that would be good.
Seems more feasible for it to be like a triage unit than anything else, is what it sounds like.
I guess what it is, KB4CBA. I have not read enough about it. All I know about it is what Channel 4 News has said about it. And of course, they'll have an entrance there. I'm sure if that traffic light, so then it'll be a four-way intersection. And when that guy ran the traffic, ran, you know, turned left and right in front of me, and it's in a curve. And in fact, they put a light up ahead of the intersection, way ahead, because you're coming around a curve and you don't actually see the traffic light until you're right on it. And if it's red, you know, that can be a problem.
To put up some signs saying there's a traffic light that it is, they had to end up doing that. I can't remember, not too far from where I'm at now, but they had to end up putting signs up with flags saying, new signal, new signal. Because people were blowing right through it, or sliding through it, for that matter.
When they first put that traffic light up, they didn't have the additional light, and but they let the trees grow over the road, and it blocked your view. I don't know why they didn't just trim the trees back, but that would have solved the problem. But I guess that wasn't. That's not the county-owned property. I guess the trees are further back. But anyway, so they put a light to as far to the left as they could and more, you know, closer in or further out from the intersection so that you can obviously see whether the light's green or red when you, you know, before you get there.
When you're coming down, what is it, 25, well, actually it's Pleasantburg Extension, like you're coming from Home Depot towards Moonville area, they actually have a extra light out to the side right before you hit the curve, so that way you can see it, it lets you know whether the light's green or whether it's red, and that's probably what they might need to invest in on that.
That's basically what they've done. They've put a light, you know, further away from the intersection, but, you know, like right as you're getting to the curve, so you can anticipate whether that light's green or red. So, you know, it's really helpful, because I drive that sometimes twice a day, so I'm going through that intersection four times in one day. And, yeah, that's just the way I live in Taylor's and the sports club. I play tennis. The sports club's on Congaree. And and I play tennis six times a week. So, you know, I'm going back and forth through there a lot.
Further up, after you cross over Whitehorse, where it turns into 25 again, still heading towards Moonville, and you cross over the railroad tracks, they've got a flashing light with a big yellow sign that says, it basically lets you know whether the light's getting ready to turn red or not. It's flashing, you can't help it. So it gives you a heads up on that. You have no choice but to look at it unless you're just not paying attention.
KB4CBA. One thing I've noticed that I really like, I know in Maggie Valley they have it, and I think I've seen one place in Greenville, they have these solar powered lights that for pedestrian, where there's a pedestrian crossing. And, you know, of course, in Maggie Valley, if you're on that main stretch there where all the stores are on either side of you, you know, that's a four lane with a paved median. So, you know, I mean, you're actually crossing like five lanes. So, but anyway, if you're walking and there's a outdoor event center there on one side of the road. So anyway, they light up, and they even light up in the pavement. And so it's especially visible at night, but you can see it during the daytime. It's really neat to see it because it's very, very visible.
Something similar, I don't know how long it's been since you traveled from the eastern side of North Carolina up to the Asheville area, but on 40, there's a big long stretch that's got a whole bunch of bright lights shining just down on the road itself. It's not where it's going to blind you because it's not directly in your eyes. It's just shining straight down on the highway, and it's four lanes in that direction. And, well, actually both sides, but it's four lanes both sides, and they got lights on both sides of the road so you can see that section, because it's really, 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 really remote and dark. But it helps a lot when you're riding down the road. I'm like, hey, I like this. I might turn my head like, oh.
Rain coming down, coming, you know, back, and coming down the hill, and I noticed that my sister has a setting, you can select, and if the lights and waters will automatically come on. It's the setting, and you can select that, and that way you don't have to think about turning your lights on when you turn your wipers on.
David, I think you're in a bad area because you really broke up a lot on that. I could not make you out, but I'm gonna go on standby, and it's good talking to you. AQ4LOO is on standby. Have a good evening.
AJ4EM Mobile.
Oh. Welcome. And so, Cal, I'll talk to you later. I'm on Rutherford Road. I'm about 2 miles from the house. It's a little splotchy around here. But anyway, good to talk to you. Enjoy the QSO, the ride along. And the other gentleman in there, I missed your call. This is KB4CBA.
Japan for Echo November Mobile.
So, AJ4AM, is that correct?
Echo November.
I'm sorry. I'm just great with calls. Echo November. All right, but I got your suffix right, correct?
Yes, sir. America, Japan, 4, Echo November. Yes, sir, name's Bobby. I'm over here in Hickory Tavern right now, sitting at a Dollar General. Never mind. I got Gary calling me right quick. I'll take the energy by him. Let me pick this phone up.